2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 9. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." You know, I was thinking here, we know Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the first two verses, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." This is his final charge to Timothy. This is, may we say, the farewell address of Paul. He is just within moments or hours going to have his head cut off. He is going to give his life for the cause of Christ. And he does that unashamedly. He does it without reservation. I've said before, this does not sound, humanly speaking, like a man that's getting ready to face death. This sounds like a man who's leaving a note for someone because he's going to go out of town for a few days. But he had that kind of peace in his heart. He understood where he was going. He told, in one place, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to leave and go to be with the Lord, but also knowing it's best for me to stay here with you. So this is a man that was drawn. It may have been because, as he said in another place, I knew a man with an antibody or antibody who was caught into the heavens. He saw things that he said, I can't even speak of. And I wonder if that did not even create, I don't wonder, I know, no doubt, that created even a greater pull upon Paul to leave this old veil of tears, leave this old world, and go be with God. Amen. No doubt about that. Paul wrote and said, "For we know that we'll rather be absent from the bodies than present with the Lord." He knew those things. And this is a man who is about to finish his course. He says here, "I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, let it from me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing." Paul says, I've finished things. I'm coming to the end of what God would have me do. I'm getting ready to go home. I'm getting ready to go to heaven. And it's interesting to me to think, I'm just going to share this with you just a few minutes and we'll go home. Here, as he's just within hours of his life coming to an end, this old life that he's lived, that he's probably in his 70s here, this life is coming to a conclusion. And I think in the verses I've read to you, we can get some insight into, at the end of all of this, what was it that mattered to Paul? You know, I think there's people every day that spend their energies and their efforts and their time and their resources trying to get more, trying to obtain more, to have bigger and better, a bit bigger home, a fancier home, a better home, a nicer car, trying to add and pad to their 401k and looking ahead for retirement, want to have it more easy in retirement. And in and of themselves, these things are okay until they become the goal and the motive of life. And some people, that's all they're living for is the here and now or tomorrow in this life, never thinking about eternity. Yet we see Paul here. I don't know that he had much in this old world, but Paul's not worried about investments, and Paul's not worried about finances, and Paul's not worried about his properties if he owned any and all those things. But we look here, and as he writes, I believe the first thing that we see that mattered to Paul was the relationships in his life. Look how many people he names. Look at all the different people he names. And what mattered to Paul were the relationships in his life. He says here, one that had hurt him, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He's departed. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus and Dalmatia. These things he's talking. Also, don't forget, he's writing this to Timothy. He's charged Timothy to keep on keeping on. Timothy was his son in the faith, and he wants Timothy to keep pushing forward and not to go back because there's too much ground to gain for the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks here about Tychicus. He sent him to Ephesus, and he asks even here in another place there in verse 11, he says, "Only Luke is with me," that he's with me now. He says, "I want you to bring Mark." If you remember, Mark was the one that they had a division over because he was kind of fickle, but and Paul didn't want him with them. But now he looks, and Mark has matured over this time, and he says, "I want you to bring Mark. He'll be profitable to the ministry. Bring him." What matters to him here are relationships. And dear friend, may I say to you, we need to understand, someone has said it this way, the only thing you can take to heaven with you are the souls you lead to Christ. And I want you to know, dear friend, we live in a world, I think about even the terminology we use. I said it a while ago. A little over a year ago, none of us had ever heard the term social distancing. You'd never heard that term. You'd never used that term in your whole life. Now it's part of our vernacular. I like what someone said. They said, you know, we ought to say physical distancing rather than social distancing, where some people have been social distancing for years, just didn't know the name of it. You know, dear friend, listen, when no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. And if we're not careful, we kind of live in our own little shell. And we never get outside of our shell. We don't realize that we have opportunities, or maybe we just fail to look and realize the opportunities that we have to touch lives, to influence people. And I've preached here many, many times, and I know you've heard it, you know it. But dear friend, unless we get out of ourselves and reach out and try to help people, we're never going to have an influence on anybody. Some people are too selfish. It's all about what I want, what's in it for me, and how's this going to affect me, and I can't do it because if I do that, it's going to inconvenience me, and I don't have time for that. I don't want to get involved in that. And so we never touch anybody's life. But there's no doubt, as we look here in the names that Paul mentions, he touched a lot of lives. And when it came down time, just hours to die, you know what mattered to him? He thought back to the relationships he had, the people he'd influenced for the cause of Christ. He was hurt by those who had turned their back on the Lord. Those things still affected him. He wasn't concerned about so many other things, but he was still concerned hours from death about the relationships in his life. He wanted to encourage those in the faith to keep going on. In his last breath, he wanted to give them something. Listen, one of the things Paul says, the things you've learned of me, you need to take those and be able to teach others also. Paul said, my life has been investing and giving, you know, and here in my last hours, I want to give to my last breath all that I have to help others keep on keeping on for Christ. Relationships were what mattered to him. People and influencing lives and helping people, that's what mattered to him. We're not hours from death that we know of. Many of us still have, hopefully, many years ahead of us. But I wonder, do people in our lives matter to us? Do you know, I tell you what, I listen to a lot of Christians, I listen to a lot of church members, and I feel like they have a disdain for people. People are more of a burden than they are a blessing. I mean, I know we can all focus on the negative in everybody's life and we can all be that way, but dear friend, I want you to know something. I thank God for my friends. I thank God for people God's put in my life that can have some influence on my life. I thank God for the people God's put in my life that have had an influence on me. I thank God for those folk. I know I've said it before and I'm going to repeat myself again, but there were many, many services, many, many weeks went by where it was just me and Susie and my two daughters in this building. And I knew as I looked out there, whether it was to my phone or that, I knew there's someone out there, but I couldn't see a face and I couldn't see a smile or I couldn't see a frown. I couldn't see eyes. I couldn't see flesh and blood. You know what, dear friend? God met with us and he helped us, but it just wasn't church not having people here. I thank God for our church. I don't mean this building. I don't mean this property. I mean the people that make up this building, this church. And I'm just going to say this. I tell you, different, everybody in every church, but our folk, we need to get beyond ourselves. We need to realize this is God's church. It's not my church. We need to get over any disagreements we have with one another, any things that we don't necessarily love and like about everyone, and realize that this thing of serving God is bigger than me, and it's bigger than you, and we need to quit quenching the Spirit of God and grieving the Spirit of God, and we need to get back in this thing and try to affect lives for the cause of Christ, because that's the only thing that's ever going to matter in eternity. Paul, here in the last hours of his life, he's talking about people. He's asking for people. He's still concerned about people. He wasn't throwing Demas under the bus just to get it out there. He was burdened that Demas had backslidden on God. He was grateful that Mark had grown and was now profitable, and he wanted him to come and have opportunity to do something for the Lord. He loved his son, the faith Timothy, and he wanted to see him go on to greater heights for the Lord. All this here in the last hours of his life, he's concerned not about properties and not about finances. And we know that because the only thing he asked for here was his cloak. We'll talk more about the paper, but his cloak. You know what? In the last hours, it wasn't finer cars or finer homes. It was just the bare necessities. if you would bring my cloak with me that I left there with Carpus. That's all I'm going to ask for. Oh, would to God that you and I would realize that it's more important about the eternal things than it is these earthly things. We get so caught up and look at, well, I need a new car. I need a new home. I need something better. Oh, would to the Lord we'd just realize, Lord, if you've given me a roof over my head, clothes on my back, and food to eat, that's more than enough. I want to put my efforts and energies into something of eternal value. Paul wasn't concerned about anything other than this, the bare necessities. Again, it's a verse I quote all the time. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God will take care of his own. If he'll clothe the lily of the field, if he'll feed the sparrow of the air, surely he'll take care of us. And I've said it many times, it may not be filet mignon every night. It may just be soup, beans, and cornbread, but that's enough. God will take care of us. Get our eyes off of what everybody else has. All that creates is envy and jealousy and discontentment, and we're never satisfied. And get our eyes on heaven. Realize, dear friend, we don't have long to do anything for God. But, dear friend, what matters is those things of eternal investment. That's what really matters. You hear Paul in the last hours of his life. He was asking about those people. He cared about people. It wasn't about things. It was just the bare necessities he asked for. And then thirdly, look, it says, he said to him, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. Folk believe the parchments were the scriptures. Now, I love this verse because this is one, I don't know if I've used this on my wife. I've used a lot of quotes about books because I love books. But look, Paul in his last words was asking for books. So there's something about that that's divine, all right, amen. But he was asking for the parchments of scriptures. Hours left in his life. And what does he want? He wants the Word of God. The truth that has not failed him all of his life and it won't fail him now in his death. He wants the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, dear friend, there's something about the precious word of God. Oh, there's a satisfaction that comes from God's word. There's a security that comes from God's word. There's a contentment the word of God can give and nothing else can. Would to the Lord that we would immerse ourselves in his word instead of all the junk of the world. Would to God that we'd give more time to his word and soaking up the word of God than we do all the other things that just don't matter. I love how Brother Kenny Baldwin says that he can get by with so many things the rest of us can't, but he talked about, tells those young people sometimes, he says, you need to get off of Facebook and get your face in the book, amen. And I say amen to that. We need to get in the Word of God, have a love for the Bible. We can all answer that and say, oh yeah, I love the Bible, but do we really love the Word of God? Oh, Paul said, listen, I don't have long to live. I don't know how much more time I have, but I know what I want. I want the parchments. I want the scriptures. How often have we seen someone in the hospital and death is near, maybe hours, maybe days, and what do they want? They want someone to sit down and read the Bible to them. Just read those familiar, comforting passages, and they'll read the Word of God. How often have we seen people in the hospital and, again, their body's racked with pain and disease, and yet what comes from their lips? They'll quote the Word of God. They'll quote the Bible. They'll sing some hymn about their Savior. Listen, dear friend, I think, and you've heard it said before, it may be that they keep them so medicated up and things anymore for pain and all that, that we don't have many of those testimonies like we used to because sometimes they're not in their right mind. But, dear friend, we still have many that there at death's door are still praising the Lord. We've not believed a fairy tale. We've not believed a myth. We have the truth. Amen. Here, Paul, I just want to remind us, here, Paul, in his dying letter, in his last letter he writes to Timothy, he asks not for his 401k statement, not for all the other things about his finances or his investments or his home. He says, I want the parchments. I want the Word of God. The last thing I read, I want to be the Bible. The last thing I hear, I want to be the Bible. Because that's what has done me all my life, done me good all my life, and it's what I want to hear as I'm passing over the other side. The truth of God's word. I was taken by this today, just reminded about the things that really matter. We get so caught up, church, in so many things, the hustle and bustle of life, the burdens of life, the difficulties of life, and I know there are things that must be done and have to be taken care of and all that. I get that, but sometimes we complicate matters and we muddy the waters so much because we make too much of things that just really don't matter. We get too heavily invested in things in this world that just don't have any eternal value whatsoever. It's good to step back and realize that we're making the most of what matters the most. Amen. They're making much of Jesus. And I don't think it's a mistake that here in these simple verses that God, this is something we can just read over so easily, not pay attention to, but God is reminding us here that one of his choice servants, when it came down toward the end of his life, what really mattered to him? He was asking about those people that God had put in his life, those that were faithful, those that were unfaithful. He cared about the relationships in his life. Listen, I want you to know, dear friend, we can give the gospel out, we can hand out tracts, we can invite people to church, we can do all those things, but until you and I take time to develop relationships with people, we're going to fail in getting the gospel and seeing people come to Christ. It's about relationships. As long as you and I put so much interest and so much value on the things of this world and all the material things of this world, we're going to miss out on all that heaven holds, what really matters. Until you and I love the Word of God, love it with all of our heart, our soul, our mind. Love the truth of God's word and hold it dear. We're never going to know what it really means to have the peace of God and walk with the Lord in the truth of his word. Here, Paul shows us what mattered to him. Getting ready to go to heaven, getting ready to go be with the Lord. And yet these are the things that matter to him. I don't know, listen, I pray to the Lord this doesn't happen, but I said there Sunday about David's words, but a step between me and death. That's true about all of us, could be. I hope we're walking with the Lord. I hope our hearts are right with the Lord. I hope the things that really are most important in God's estimation really matter to us. If not, I pray the Lord will help us tonight to take inventory, reevaluate some things, and make the necessary changes in our life if they need to be. If we're doing those things and holding those things dear, then keep on with those things. Because, dear friend, I'm telling you, this thing's about to wrap up. I'm looking to go with it by the trumpets. I'm looking to go, but dear friend, you know what? I could be stretched out here in front of this church before the trumpet ever sounds. I may go by way of the grave. I hope that I've made much of the right things, of what's really important. Amen. And Paul gives us a lesson here, just a simple lesson of what matters. I was thinking again, I thought about this, and then today as I watched that video, and I thought, I'm so proud of Brother Nick and what he's doing and how God's working in his life. His interest and his desire now to do something for the Lord. The guy loved athletics, loved sports, and I get that, but now you talk to him and that pales in comparison. He'd rather preach, rather do something for the Lord. Not he'll never do those things again, but that's not what he cares about. He wants to preach. He's talking to me the other day. We were talking about some things, and I could see the Lord. As he said in that video, God's dealing with his heart about that area. I could see the Lord sending him out there someday to plant a church. He'd love to see that happen. I mentioned to you about Lindsay there, young lady, athlete, loved the Lord, was just a good, just one of those good teenage girls, just had a good spirit about her, but she is so content serving the Lord. You look there and you say, man, thank God for that. Hallelujah, what a blessing. Those are the things, the relationships and the investment that you and I have in different people in our lives, our own children, our grandchildren, our friends, that's what matters. Is helping someone, iron sharper than iron, trying to help someone better them to serve the Lord and let them better you. That's what matters. Not all the discontent and malcontent and fuss and fight and all the arrogance and pride and those things that fill our churches. No, dear friend, it's about us helping one another, encouraging one of the relationships in our life. That's what matters. Helping each other serve the Lord. That's what matters. Loving the Word of God, living the Word of God, saturating, soaking it up in our lives, and living it out in our lives, that's what matters. Not all that this world seems to have. That pales. That's all going to burn up one day, amen? May the Lord help us have our hearts in the right place. You know, was it Matthew, was it not he that said, lay it for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal? That's where our treasure, where your treasure is, that where your heart be also. That's where our treasure needs to be, is in eternal things.